We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray,
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest this morning is another beautiful sister in Christ, Miss Melanie Randall. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm so glad you come. I always enjoy the food you bring to this table.
I enjoy coming.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and Miss Tina will get that posted. I'm not even going to lie to you no more, y'all. I'm not even going to fib or nothing and tell y'all we will get it posted, because only one person can do it at a time. Only one person can do it. So Miss Tina is the one that does that for us, for the most part. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located right here in Elk City at 616 North Locust Avenue, Apostle Casey Elliott. If you would like to be put on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of July, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. I think I covered it all. Okay. Ms. Melanie, would you please pray to start us out?
Father God, we just thank you for this another month. We have gone into another season, that of summer. And we just thank you, God, that you are keeping us each and every time that we come, Lord, and able to just do what you give us to do and to say what you give us to say. So we just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Monica. Thank you for Tina, Lord, that are here being a part of this, Lord, and where I can come in and share. I just appreciate them as well. Now, Father God, that which you give me to say, Lord, I just pray that you would just bless me to speak as you would be speaking through me, Lord, to those that are in hearing of this program today. Bless those, Lord, that have tuned in, Lord, to hear the words of the message that you have given me to share on today. And I just pray that all that are tuning in, Lord, would take heed to the word of God. I love your word, God. I love you, and I love your people. And so I just pray for each and every one, Lord. They receive what they need in this setting at this time. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Today is Thursday. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight Shepherd through the Truth broadcast following the program. When this is ended, we will end the iPad. We'll turn it off, reset it, and be back live with a word from Pastor Dwight. The message title for this Thursday is Growing Pains. Ooh, you don't want to miss that one, y'all. So stay tuned after the Hour of Power for Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight. There, I did cover it all this time. Yes. For real this time, y'all.
Good job.
For real this time. The Holy Spirit's faithful. Yeah. He brings it up and reminds me. I like your title this morning, Miss Melanie. Discerning the Signs.
Yes, Discerning the Signs. This is a topic that I've shared on us a little while back, but I just feel like God has given me some more to add to it and just kind of keep our mindsets on the period in which we are living. And, you know, I just thank God. He's so faithful to give you, you know, something more on what you've already thought you've, you know, have exhausted and studied. And he'll show you, oh, no, there's always more. Mm-hmm. There's always more. So I am so grateful and thankful for that. Well, are we ready to just get on into it?
Ready to go.
All righty. Discerning the signs. This kind of hit me. I was at a state church meeting last month in June, state convocation in Oklahoma City, and of the Christ Holy Sanctified Church. And there was a young lady that used to be a part of our praise dance team. She has moved to Tulsa now. Anyway, she was there for that as well, for that state convocation. And she did this praise dance in the setting. And this song is called The Horse and the Rider. Mm. Oh, it was so powerful. And the first part of it, every so often she would say, wake up, wake up, wake up. That was part of the song. And I tell you what, at the very ending of her presentation, when she got through, and I mean immediately after she got through, it thundered and lightning, like so powerful, right at the end of her deal. Mm. And I just sat there just kind of stunned for a moment, you know, just having witnessed that, you know, taking place at the end of her deal, her praise dance. And one of the young little girls that I watch, our praise and worship leader, his children, she's 9 years old. And she came to me after that happened. She says, I was talking to my mother about this, and she told me to come and talk to you and ask you about it. And this was during the service time now. And she said, right after Kelsey did her presentation, she said that thunder and that lightning. She said, "Now I was just wondering, you know, wondering if it's about judgment or whatever, you know." I mean, this is a little girl that she just, her mindset is just so much deeper than a lot of children her age. And so I had to think for a minute. I said, give me some time on that. I'm going to have to do a little bit of studying, and then I'll get back with you. I did not want to just give her some throughout-the-mind answer, you know, out of my mindset, not really knowing for sure what I needed to say anyway. And so I started doing a little studying on dealing with what thunder and lightning meant. And as I, you know, did that, then I kind of got to thinking about signs that God used, you know, in the heavens and just what those things meant. And so that's how I came about this message. And I'll tell you later on what I told her, because it's going to be coming on out in the message about thunder and lightning. And so we're going to share that a little later on. But that's the kind of the preface, if you will, as to why I got into doing this particular message. Discerning the signs. To discern. And see, when I give you all the definitions of these words, I normally like to come from Strong's Concordance, because, you know, words have just, some words have just changed meanings over the number of years and period of time, and they don't keep their original meaning, you know, from their original, term of what it first meant. And so I like to use the Strong's Concordance on that. So discern means to separate thoroughly, to discriminate. And we're not talking about discrimination as far as discrimination, you know, of between people. But this discrimination means by making a decision. It means to judge. So discernment means having sound judgment to see the distinct differences of things so that one can choose what is best for a situation. And so if you can kind of get that in your spirit as to what we're talking about when we're talking about discerning things, you're going to have to separate, you know, what's going on with each thing that you're looking at as to which path you should take on a particular matter. And there's going to be distinct differences that will cause you to hopefully make the right call, make the right sound judgment. And that's discernment. When you make the right judgment on a particular thing, discerning what is really necessary for that particular time for you to do. Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Matthew 16, 1 through 4. Let's go there. And it says, "Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.' And he left them and departed." Now, he let them know, you can look at the physical signs of how the sky looks, and you can tell whether or not there's a storm coming. You know, you can tell by the redness of the sky what type of weather you're going to have. But if it's red with ominous looking clouds, and as David Payne says, it's got that mezzo cycle going on and all that kind of stuff, then you'd be thinking, okay, we got a storm that may be threatening here, you know. And so he said, you can discern those particular things, but, you know, you can't discern the signs of the times. And there's going to be something real important about understanding why they could not discern certain things. A sign means an indication. And as I said, we're in accordance to Strong's Concordance. An indication, miracle, or wonder. It means a wonder by which one may recognize a person or confirm who he is. So a sign is something that is there to point you to be able to recognize what you're dealing with at that particular time. And it says they're a person, but it can even be a thing. It causes you to recognize it's pointing to a certain particular thing. The Pharisees and Sadducees weren't asking with hearts to believe. Now, see, that's important right there. They weren't asking for a sign because they really wanted to believe in who he was. See, signs are given as confirmation to those that really want to believe, you know, that there's an occurrence happening, and they need something that will steer them to know, say, okay, that must be it, you know, that's what's going on. And so, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't really looking for a sign to confirm to them that Jesus was who he was, because they really didn't think he was who he was and didn't want a sign to say otherwise. Okay? This was the fourth time Jewish leaders asked for a sign. In Matthew 12 and 38, they asked for a sign. In John 2 and 18, they asked for a sign. In John 6 and 30, they asked for a sign. Jesus had confirmed the word of God multitude of times as a sign of who he was. Now let's go to St. John chapter 2. And I'm going to bring out something there in St. John chapter 2 verse 11. You know, it's important for us to realize, you know, what are we seeking a sign for? Do we really want to know, you know, and have an answer to a particular question? But anyway, let's go to St. John 2:11, and it says, the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So who believed in him? His disciples. They believed in him. But as far as others, many did not believe. Some were just out, you know, curious as to what was going on, you know, and they would be there. But here with the sign that the Pharisees and scribes were asking for, Jesus had done many miracles. And the one in Cana with turning the water into wine, that was the first of many signs. They had enough signs to last them a lifetime as to show who he was. And this was their thing. They said, now show us a sign so that we can know who you are. Well, he had done, I mean, what more did you want to do? He raised, you know, the dead. He laid his hand, you know, on a dead, I think it was the casket that was going by. He called the boy back to life. He did many things. He walked on water. He fed the multitude with just a handful of food. Jesus was healing people all the time, calling and casting demons out. He was doing the work, the mission that God had sent him on. He was doing that. And so if they wanted a sign, they had signs. They had multitude of signs. But like, as I said, they really did want to believe in who he was. They themselves were objects of their own worship and not true worshipers of God. See, this is what was really going on with them. They were the objects of their own worship, of their own, of themselves to worship. And they wanted a reason to get rid of Jesus. Now, that's really what they wanted. They wanted him to do something that would give them a reason to say, okay, we got to get rid of you. You know, that was the kind of sign they wanted. They didn't want a sign to believe, but they wanted something that would come about to show, hey, we got to get rid of him. All righty. And I want you to know that so it is in this day and time in which we are living. There are many in social media, and even some not in social media, that are asking for a sign. The scripture plainly describes some signs that are, you know, going to be coming about and are coming about in this day and time. But you have people that are playing on the emotions of people, and they are trying to use that for their own personal self-gain as well. Playing on the emotions of people and want to use this as a self-gain for their own advancement when they start talking about signs. And some are fabricating signs. And that's why we have to be discerning, because of all the fabrication that's out there. Now, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 24, he said a whole stage of things that were to be signs, from religious deception leading to one world government, to wars and rumors of wars, to famines, pestilences, disease, which are diseases, earthquakes, signs in the heavens, persecution of Christians, lawlessness, preaching of the gospel to every nation. And so that's just in Matthew 24. There's other passages, there's scriptures such as 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9, that gives you the nature of people in this age that we're living in. And everything that's listed there, I'm not going to read every scripture I've got here for lack of time, but I want you to research it for yourself. Everything that's going on with mankind is listed there. It's listed right there in that passage of scripture in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 9. And it talks about the immorality of men in that passage of Scripture. Romans 1, 18 through 32 deals with the sexual perversion of man, of which is going on. And it's amazing, those things are listed in these passages of Scriptures that were taking place. Some of those things were taking place then. But things that are taking place now are truly listed. I mean, 1 through 10, 15, 20. It's every one of those things going on in our day and time. You have, and this is one that I don't hear a lot of people talk about, but you have the changing definitions of words. Words that once meant one thing means something else now, you know? Do you know that the word peculiar, its original translation for peculiar, and because you see the Scripture calls us a peculiar people. Mm-hmm. And I used to think, I said, well, yeah, we're strange, you know, we're strange mm-hmm. to the world, but that's not what the original translation of peculiar was. It means jewel, treasure, beyond usual, special. We're a special people. We are a treasured people. We are a jewel unto God. Amen. I mean, just think about that word peculiar. Now we look at it as, oh, it's strange, odd. Them Christians, they're just some strange people. They just odd, you know. The word awful used to mean worthy of awe. God is an awesome being. He is one that we can look at with awe. That's what the word awful, but it's been changed to mean something terrible or something bad and just something just terribly wrong, awful. Naughty. Here's another one. It's a good one. This is a real good one now. Naughty. Guess what naughty used to mean?
What?
You had naught or nothing. You had naught or nothing. But naughty now means you've been a bad girl. You've been a bad boy. I mean, look, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, how words change over time. The word flirt used to mean flickering something away. Like you flick off something off of some little piece of trash off the table, you just flick that off. That's what the word flirt used to mean. The word flirt in today's setting is a come on to somebody, you know, where you're, you know, trying to come on to the opposite sex, or in today's time, people trying to come on to the same sex, you know. It's a come on to people. The word vaccine used to mean that it was given to prevent a disease. And see, they had to change that just recently when they got that vaccine for the COVID-19. Yep. They had to go in and change the definition. It's now just means that it lessens the effect of a disease. Look how we just change things. See, that's why we have to believe the word of God. God is not changing for nobody. Amen. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I'm so glad about that, too. I'm so glad that, I don't have to look at God and say, what? I thought you said such and such. You don't mean that no more?
Come on. Come on.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you, Monica, yes. Wouldn't it be something we have to say that? I thought he meant such and such. Oh, no. Even the simple words of being a man or a woman.
Yep.
It doesn't mean that in culture. Who would have thought that you would have think, you know, a man means something else now. You know, it doesn't mean a male. Or a woman doesn't mean a female. Oh, yeah. I don't care what they say. A man is going to always mean to be a male, and a woman be a female. I mean, even in animal life, they know the difference.
Yep.
you know?
Yep. Come on.
My goodness. You don't have trees out there that are apple trees talking about, I want to be a lemon tree, you know.
Yeah, my apple trees never said it was anything. It's actually never talked to me. It just produces apples for me.
That's right. That's all they do.
I don't expect lemons out of that apple tree, no, you Ms. don't. Melanie.
No, you don't.
I expect apples for apple butter.
I'm telling you. You don't expect nothing different. You really don't. You don't go out there one day, one but it's done changed. It's producing something else now. Oh, no. It may not produce one year at all.
Last year it didn't.
You know, that happens. I had some irises the first time that all I saw was the green leaves. Not a single bud came out except for two yellow iris flowers. And every year I always get a whole patch of purple ones. But this year, not a single purple iris came up. And I thought, how strange. That never happened before. But, you know, just looking at things, how they change. You know what this makes me think of? That people are ever learning, as the scripture says in 2 Timothy 3:7, they're ever learning to do and say and act in whatever certain way, but they're never coming to the truth, to the knowledge of the truth. You just can't just change things and just say, you know, I know this is how it was, but we're going to make it this way. If it's not operating in the truth of God. See, that's what's wrong with the people today. We're ever learning how to do things differently, but are we getting anywhere? Are we really operating by the truth of God? I'm going to tell you, holy means being holy. And tomorrow when I get up, holy going to mean being holy. And next year, if I be around, holy gonna mean being holy. It ain't changing for nobody. God's word stays the same. If he says be righteous, he means be righteous. If he said he made them male and female, he made them just that way. For signs and seasons, let's talk about the sun and the moon. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1, 14 through 19. I want to bring out something here about the signs in the heavens. I tell you, I thank God for his grand creation, which he made in this world. Genesis 1, and beginning at verse 14. It says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, it says that the sun and moon were given for signs, for seasons. The sun is the greater. Not only is the greater light, it's the larger light. It is 400 times larger than the moon. It is also about 400 times farther away from the earth than the moon. And so that's why they appear to look about the same size, because of where it is in location. So you know what that's called? That's called an optical illusion, if you will. When something appears to be a certain way, but just because of the depth of time and space, and we are living in a, you know, we see things like a three-dimensional thing. We don't see it as it quite is. And so that's kind of a distorted perception, if you will, because the sun is not the same size as the moon. It's really many, 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 400 times bigger, larger. And so why am I really talking about this, about a distorted perception. Because this is what the enemy does as well. The enemy presents to you a misleading image and causes your perception to be distorted as to what is really going on. Okay? He gives you an optical illusion, if you will. He causes your perception not to see things as they really are. So keep that in mind, that the enemy comes. He comes to give you ADP, a distorted perception of things. Luke 21:25-36 talks about signs in the sun and the moon. It talks about the powers of the heavens being shaken. It talks about in these signs that are going to take place, how the moon will turn to blood. You'll find that in Joel. And talks about the moon turning to blood and the sun being darkened. So, well, we see those things happening now in the form of eclipses and blood moons. And so I'm saying that those are just signs in the heavens that we see that are happening from time to time now, that should cause us to know that there is coming a time where that will be the ultimate eclipse. Mm. You know, the ultimate thing is going to take place with that. And so as we see a blood moon, or as we see as a total eclipse, it points us to something that's coming greater in that magnitude of that thing. Mm. Okay.